Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I honestly, are you looking for a real answer? Yeah, I do this. I do. I go to a grocery store and they're like, oh, how are you? And I'm like, I'm looking in their eyes like, you looking for a real answer? Because I'm tired right now. I'm tired.
I ask because I genuinely want to know. I worked retail long ago, and and I remember seeing all these people ask customers questions about, hey, how are you doing? How's it going? And they didn't actually care. It was just a different way of saying hello. Yeah, or acknowledging that someone was there.
For the record, if I ask, I want to know.
Yeah, same here. And I remember seeing customers get like a sad or anguished look on their face because they knew how they were supposed to answer, but it isn't how they felt. And so I very quickly learned to instead tell people that I was glad they were in the store. And acknowledge them that way. But when I ask you, or John Martellaro, who's also here. Hi, John.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'd like to announce I'm licensed and fully certified to be here.
You are. Yes, you are. But when I ask how you guys are doing, it's because I genuinely want to know.
Fine. I'm tired.
Well, what I hope is that the amazing espresso that you have made will help with
that. It's really good. It's really, really good. Yeah. And I apologize to all our listeners for this rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, I can think of far worse.
This is like almost as bad as ACM.
Almost. All we need is a really bad non sequitur transition to the next thing, and it would be pretty much exactly the same. but instead, I'll say, hey, we have a sponsor today, and that's LinkedIn Jobs, and we will talk about them soon. What I want to talk about right now is California and this new law that they passed, which is like an Internet of Things kind of protection thing, and just the whole thing with how California and other states are working to create their own laws to protect net neutrality and online privacy. John, you had some ideas about this, I believe.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really like Jerry Brown and what California is trying to do here. I've been reading some articles recently about federal rulings that doesn't allow cities to do some things that cities and states maybe to do some things that they wanted to do to enforce net neutrality, like licensing or taxing communication systems. But I think it, and I haven't heard otherwise, but I think it's okay for California to pass a law on commerce in terms of these IoT devices, Internet of Things devices, having to have reasonable security on them. You know, right now, so many of them have default passwords, and if the customer doesn't know that they need to do anything, a hacker can guess the default password and the system isn't secure.
Well, in some cases, end users don't even have the ability, even if they have the technical savvy, to change a password on a device because it might be burned into firmware.
Yeah. So some people have criticized the law as not being ironclad and go far enough. But, you know, once you have a law like this, it opens the door to state perusal, regulation, observation, lawsuits. Well, one of the things I was wondering before the show started is why they didn't require these devices to be licensed by the state. That way they could pull the license if the device didn't comply.
That's gonna meet with a lot of resistance.
Yeah, I think that would be
it's easier to pull the license than to win in court.
Yeah, I know. And I don't think we As progressive as I tend to be, I would not want to go down that path. That actually seems like a recipe for disaster too, John.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it before the show. You're right. It's probably something that would be hard to get approval for. Yeah. But this is a good first start, and you can still take people to court for violating the law and argue that what you think is reasonable is not what they think is reasonable and try to make your case. So that reasonable security measure, quote reasonable, is what seems to be the sticking point. But try to be specific. You find it's another rabbit hole. So it's one of those things that's better resolved and in court than specified in writing, especially when you have a new emerging technical issue where it's hard to get real specific.
Yeah, well, I'm also...
This issue isn't going to be solved until consumers care. When consumers start buying Internet of Things devices based on whether or not they're secure, the industry will promptly start caring about security.
Oh, frumpwoggle. I disagree completely, Brian.
What I just said is objectively true, but, you know, go ahead.
Customers are never going to care. They're just going to buy these devices and they're going to trust it. They're going to see the device advertised. They're going to plug it in. They're going to use it.
They're going to care when there's a huge problem.
Huge problems happen all the time and customers don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to care about it. I'm being a little bit cynical, but.
I understand your cynicism, but what I see is like with Facebook, we saw a lot of people get really upset about Facebook. People started shutting down their accounts, switching to other services. Now, granted, Facebook is so big that you can have millions of people leave and it doesn't matter.
Drop in the bucket.
But seeing the reaction that the general public had to Facebook and the Cambridge Analytica thing tells me that even people that don't have the technical savvy to know what to do can get upset and can demand some sort of change. So when
I think the problem is that so much of what we do with these devices is hidden. The surface of the device, the GUI, the thing that faces us and we use, is all designed to do one thing. And then the guts and the back end are all designed to do something different that we don't see, whether it's your web browser or your thermostat or whatever, or your dowel that you give to a kid that has a recording device. All these things have sort of a two-element face to them. And as long as the customers are only exposed to the face of the product and don't think or explore deeply about the back end of the product, it's hard to care, Brian.
Well, so as you were rambling on there about something, I don't know, blah, blah, something. something.
I think he was blah, blah, Brian's right, blah, blah. Is that what it was?
No, I was actually going to say that my initial statement and your initial statements are not at odds. You're saying that consumers will never care. I'm saying it won't change until they do care. Those two statements aren't necessarily at odds.
Well, yeah, that's true. I agree with you.
And I think what we need is a critical mass of situations where enough regular consumers feel like their privacy has been compromised in a way that they're not comfortable with. We've had one, and it has to be on the front end. It can't be back end stuff. And the one I'm thinking of was a few months ago, there was the bug where an Echo misinterpreted a perfect storm of sounds and thought that it was supposed to record what someone said and send it to someone else as a message.
There was a conversation going on in another room.
Yes. And
so it recorded that conversation and sent it to someone that was on the contact list of the owner.
And a lot of people freaked out.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, but that kind of died down some. And my guess is that a lot of people, if you brought that up now, they wouldn't remember, or they'd say something like, "Oh, right, I'd forgotten about that."
Okay, so but let me
get more of those, and then we'll
someone is extorted from something that's recorded by microphones, or someone gets harmed, or someone's house gets broken in, or lots of people's houses get broken in, or widespread issue related to insecure or unsecure Internet of Things devices. If that happened and people started caring, then the industry will change.
Yes. Yes.
And it's probably really just a matter of time. Like, you know, I've argued to many internet, because I always talk about security. If I meet an Internet of Things company, the first thing I talk about is security. I'm like, you know, convince me that you care about security. And, oh, you know, we'll inevitably, because I bring it up, we'll talk about the fact that if people have like a half a dozen or a dozen Internet of Things devices in their house, and eight of those are currently involved in a botnet attack, some kind of DDoS attack, mm-hmm. right? They have no reason to care. Right. They don't even know. And even if they did know, that. They still wouldn't care.
Yep. Was it the beginning of this year or was it late last year?
I think it was last year? In the middle of last year.
Okay. Middle of last year.
That test run.
Yeah, all the webcams that were being used for denial of service attacks. And most people had no idea because
How would you?
There's no user interface for security monitoring in these devices.
And it's also very, very hard to know what the heck is happening on your own Wi-Fi network.
Yes, that's true.
Exactly how much data is going on, you know, is going back and forth on your Wi-Fi network right now. John might know. Do you know, John?
Probably not.
And if John doesn't know, no one knows.
Nope.
Wow. I actually kind of expected you to go, oh, well, I let's see here. It looks like it's going to be exactly this amount. That's my John impression, apparently, by the way.
It was uncanny. I thought John interrupted you, Brian.
Not licensed.
not at all licensed for John impressions, to be sure.
Yeah, right. only I have that.
So Mike, you were one of the most, and I say this with love and respect, despite the way it may sound, you were one of the most paranoid people I know about your network and your security.
Well, I used to run Little Snitch a lot back in the days when, you know, you had half a chance of monitoring communications back to the mothership. But with iOS, there's no way. I mean, this app sits there and it's pretty and it does things, but what it's happening in the background, you have no clue about. And Apple doesn't seem
to. Let alone individual apps on your phone, you know, again, all those Internet of Things devices.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see a module in the iPhone that allows you to bring up a user interface to see what kind of traffic is going out on any individual app.
Can you do that with the app or tools?
Make that for us, John. I would like to see maybe a listener can clue us in on this. Mm-hmm. Why aren't apps like that available for our total network?
There are, but they're not apps that the average person will use.
I have looked at many apps. I can find like all the devices that are on my network and everything like that. But I've never seen an app that shows me like, you know, bars of data, you know, that are live data that's coming from each individual device on my network. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, I think one of the problems is these apps check. One of the problems, Brian, is that the apps check for network communication ability. And if you tried to shut down part or all of the communication in the back end, it would say, well, gee, I can't do what I'm supposed to do. There's something wrong with the open error message and say, I quit. I can't operate. So the task of monitoring and filtering and controlling what the app sends out is a very difficult process. And most apps would just quit.
Yeah, you're still focused on the apps. I want to see it for my whole network. And I'm looking at Wireshark right now, wireshark.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, like a packet sniffer? Or a packet sniffer would have a friend in GUI and then alert you. But there's, you know, the rate of traffic and there's so much information and it's probably encoded. It would be a monstrous difficulty task to comprehend the nature of the information that's being transmitted across the network and out onto the internet, I think.
Captured network data can be browsed via a GUI or via the CMO. Apparently there is an app for that.
You just haven't asked yet.
Yeah, I'm so glad. So I guess our listeners don't have to tell us because Jeff already did.
So you're welcome.
John, you should review this, man. You should put your expertise here and your interest in security. You should put that to should put that to use and like review it from the standpoint of not so much what it can do, but what you would want to use it for.
Okay. I'll talk to Jeff about it.
Cool. We will have a chat. But what we're going to do right now is talk about our sponsor. And our sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. And what's cool about LinkedIn Jobs is that if you're an employer and you need to find someone to fill a position that you have, you don't want to spend a lot of time just sifting through people that aren't interested in what you're doing and are just looking for whatever they can find. What you want is someone that is going to be a good fit for your business and is going to have the interest in what you're doing. And sure, you can find people like that when you put out a job posting on all different kinds of job boards. But man, you have to sift through a lot of people before you find the right person. LinkedIn Jobs fixes that problem because the people that are applying for jobs through LinkedIn Jobs, they already have LinkedIn accounts. And these are people that are more interested in what it is that you're doing. They're applying for your jobs because they really want to work with you as opposed to just find another paycheck. And that's a great thing. It means that you have a higher likelihood of finding the right employee without having to run through a ton of people to make that happen. And that saves you time, that saves money, it saves aggravation, and it's a wonderful thing. And speaking of saving money, you, because you listen to Daily Observations, you can save some money on your first job posting. Here's what you need to do. Hurry to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/TDO. Terms and conditions apply. And thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor. All right. The other thing that I want to talk about real quick before we wrap up is this emergency alert test that we're all going to experience on Wednesday. And this is the presidential alert test. And it was supposed to happen in September, but you know, we had a whole hurricane thing happen and it seemed like bad form to test it then. So it was pushed out, so it's happening on October 3rd at, I want to say, 2:18 in the afternoon Eastern time. And so the deal is, you can't stop it. It's going to happen. And yes, 2:18 Eastern time. And so I figured we just need to let people know about this and let them know what it is. And short version, this is a combined test with FEMA and the FCC, and they're testing two different things. The first part is the emergency alert system, and the second part is the wireless emergency alerts system.
What's the difference, Jeff?
The difference is that one part of it is about getting emergency alerts out to people. And that's what the EAS part is, the emergency alert system. The second part, the wireless emergency alerts, this is specifically about delivering emergency messages to our smartphones. And we've tested the EAS a few times, but this will be the first time we've had a WES test.
W-E-A? And a lot of
WEA test. Yeah. And so what will happen is within this half hour window, starting at 2:18 PM Eastern time, your phone's going to do an Amber Alert sort of thing. It will be like that. It won't actually be an Amber Alert where it vibrates, it does an emergency tone and you get a message on your iPhone or other smartphone screen. And it says, hey, this is a test of the presidential alert system. Don't worry. You don't need to do anything and you can dismiss it. You can't disable this. Amber alerts you can turn off, but the presidential alerts you cannot. So if you are in cell service range and you are on a cell network that is supporting the system, which I believe is all of them, you'll get the message. The only way to not get it, if you really don't want it, is to put your phone in airplane mode for half an hour or just turn it off.
Let me assume it's going to work on microcells too, Jeff.
Of course. It'll work on microcells.
So let me interrupt, please. Mm-hmm. Don't try to evade this message. Like, especially if it's politics, because you don't like the president, or if you don't like the next president or the next president after that. I mean, we're going to have national emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of thing, being able to get word out to people, is an important thing, regardless of politics.
This is
well spoken, Brian. I was just about ready to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is not something that's new. For a lot of people, they've never experienced emergency alert tests before. But when we were kids, and when John was a young adult, we had the alerts that would come over the television. I'm sorry, John, I love you. I shouldn't have done that. So it's not like this is
the reason I'm wiser than these other two jokers is because I'm a little bit older than they are.
Yeah, but you had to duck and cover. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. So, yeah, these tests, it's not about politics, and it's not about the government trying to invade your privacy and send you propaganda. This is a system that was created years ago so that we can get valid emergency alerts. And it's a very effective system, at least it has been in the past. And frankly, I think this is something that should have been tested before now. So I'm glad we're finally really getting a test. Yes, it'll be annoying, and it's probably going to do its magic sounds in the middle of me recording something tomorrow, and it'll be like, well, there you go.
Yeah, you know people recording. Might be startled, and people might be, you know, get these things while they're driving. It by no means is it perfect. However, it is an important infrastructure to have in place, especially, I can't remember, maybe John or maybe Adam made this point in the meeting, but especially if you're, you know, like not listening to radio anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, like, you know, fewer people are getting their information through radio and TV these days. So I for one,
or afternoon soap operas.
Sure.
Yeah.
I, for one, am glad to see this taking place. I think that it's going to only become more important that we be able to communicate emergency conditions.
Yes. And there are laws in place that govern exactly how this can be used. So it's not like this can now be a thing where the president just starts sending out personal messages. This has very strict guidelines in how it's used, and the messages don't even come directly from the White House. They can be prepared by the White House, but then they're sent over to FEMA, and FEMA has to make this go out. So if FEMA gets a message that says, like, hey, everyone, barbecue at the White House tomorrow, they're not going to send it out.
Probably not. Although, you know,
probably not,
any given president could find a FEMA, you know, it could be a new kind of Friday Night Massacre, but, you know, this for barbecue announcements.
For barbecue announcements. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. So anyway, yeah, don't let politics be a thing here. Don't try to avoid this simply because it's important that it be out there. Just, you know, deal with it and then move on.
And I have one more bit of advice. Okay. Alert your family. It occurs to me to let my wife know, because she'll probably be in class.
Oh, and your mother's.
And let everybody fathers. You know that may not be aware of it or as well read as you are, that it's going to happen. So they don't worry when they get this alert.
Yeah, all the people that normally turn to you for tech help. But, you know, definitely let your parents know. You know, yeah.
I have an FAQ that I put together. I will have a link to that in the show notes. So if you want an easy thing to just pass on to your family and friends so that they understand what this is and why it's happening, I've got your back. It'll be in the show notes. And with that, we're out of time.
Hey, while we're recording, iOS 12.1, I think, shipped with 70 new emojis.
Wow. So we only got one developer beta of that before it came out.
Yeah, at least I think so.
All right. Well, unless it's another developer beta. All right. Well, before we go, hold on. Let me hop into updates on my phone.
It's a press release from Apple announcing the emojis.
Maybe it's just the emojis that are going to be included with iOS 12.1.
Right. This press release could be coming before the actual release. But anyway, this was announced as we were recording.
All right. Well, I can't wait to go and see exactly what it is. Brian, thanks for being here today.
Yeah. thank you for having us. It's been very good.
It's been a lot of fun. John, I am so glad you're here.
It was fun. It was good to be here. Thanks.
It was a lot of fun. Hey, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, and get $50 off your first job posting, linkedin.com/TDO. Listeners, I am so glad you were here. Thank you for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.